Good evening. And if you're just tuning in live, you're hearing us from 105.3 out of Mississippi on FM and 107.7 out of the beautiful city of New Orleans. And this is the Angel Rock. I'm your host, Laura Lee Potvin. We are streaming to you live on the UFO Paranormal and United Public Radio Network. A little bit about myself, if you haven't been here before, you're just listening live for the first time. I'm a Canadian psychic medium, crystal Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner, spiritual teacher and mentor, registered nurse. I am also a budding animal communicator, well-versed in near-death experiences, having had one as a toddler myself, and I've studied them professionally and personally for over 40 years. And lastly, very well-versed in the paranormal. I always say we never went looking for the paranormal, it found us. And we've shared our story on the Travel Channel's Paranormal Survivor on season 4, episode 9. And my wonderful patient guest here is hanging in here. You guys know I always got to get the housekeeping things out of the way, but I'm going to give a quick shout out to Z-Sun Dragon or Kevin. Glad to have you here, Kevin. Obviously not working tonight. Glad to see you. So just a few housekeeping things. If you guys like what you see, please like, share, and subscribe, and tell all your friends and family. There is something for everyone on this network. I believe if the message I got, I think we have a new show that just started before us tonight. So we always move the next show after, meaning us guys. That's why we started a few minutes after the 6 o'clock hour, and it'll be like that for ever and ever because we've got a new show. But there's something for everybody here. This network's been around for 25 plus years and we stream multiple shows daily, 7 days a week. I believe we are up to, if I was talking to a fellow co-host or host on the network and they were saying, I think we're up to 40 different hosts on the network right now. So when we're not streaming live, the archive server dips into randomly over the last 25 plus years, different shows. So you never know what you're going to find. And like I say, there really is different types of shows for everyone here. You can also watch us on TV. We have our own TV channel. We are on Roku. If you want to find that, you're going to go to the channel store and type in UFO space P as in paranormal. And there's a drop down list. We are about the third or fourth one down. And you're looking for UFO space P as in paranormal. It's going to say UFO Paranormal and United Public Radio. And that's how you can watch us. Lastly, if you want to join in the comments, Carrie Lynn, I swear to God, you and I have a telepathic link. Oh, Carrie Lynn Shellhorn. She is the host of Spirit Switchboard here and a very good friend on Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I was just thinking of you when I was talking about a fellow host, and here you are popping in to say hi to Carol, myself, and the rest of the people popping in here. Hi, Diane Brighton. Be sure to check out Carrie Lynn's show. She's got a great show. She always has fantastic hosts, and she's an amazing medium, psychic. She's a paranormal investigator and super knowledgeable and wonderful, wonderful lady. So check her out. Lastly, if you want to join in the comments, 80% of our audience is listening only. So what you can do is there's a few places you can head over to. You can go to UFO Paranormal and United Public Radio on Facebook and YouTube. I am streaming on my YouTube channel, which is The Angel Rock with Laura Lee Potvin. We are also streaming on Canada's Most Haunted. I am streaming to Instagram on The Angel Rock tonight. Now, the comments are not integrated with the rest of the comments, so I will try and pop back and forth during the next 2 hours to let you know we see you, we appreciate you being here, and if you have anything to say, you want to join in the conversation, we'd love to have you join us. I think I remembered everything. Hang in there, Carol, hang in. I told you, got a little bit of housekeeping. Lastly, I do want to promote this lastly. So come hang out with us and myself too here in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, this October 4th to 6th for the Lake Superior Paranormal Convention. Tickets are available now. There's VIP and there's Plus, there's Supernatural and VIP passes. The tickets are limited and I believe we are well over half sold out. So you want to check those out for sure. There's going to be talks, workshops, there's a paranormal investigation, and there's going to be vendors. Some of the guest speakers that are going to be there are going to be Shane Pittman, Jeff Belanger, our own Carrie Lynn Shellhorn. I finally get to meet her in person. And she's going to be doing a special event on the Sunday called Spirits and Sweets. So she'll be giving messages from spirits. Well, I believe you enjoy some very delicious desserts. It's a really fun event that she does locally where she's from, including she even does dining with the dead and all kinds of cool stuff. there's going to be the Travel Channel's Beyond the Haunting. Chris Rutkowski, he talks about things like UFOs and Bigfoot. Dee McCauley from Dark History, he's local to the area of Thunder Bay. He's been on the Angel Rock before. The Winnipeg Paranormal Group, and many more, including myself. I'm going to be giving a talk, and I have a table where I'm going to be selling all kinds of goodies. I'm working on all kinds of Halloween-y and spiritual stuff, so I hope to see you there. It's being put on by Lucky Paranormal, who are a local group here. They were on in April, and to get tickets, you can go to Lake Superior Paracon. And finally, Carol's been so patient. Sorry, Carol, hang on. So I want to read her bio here. So give me just 1 second. I had this all saved ahead of time. So Carol, who is an author, I'm going to read this. We're going to talk about her new book today. I want to go to Facebook because I had this all. No, I know where I have it. Hang on. Sorry, guys. Happy belated Mother's Day, by the way, to everybody. If you celebrated, and even for people that are trying to become a mother, or maybe they look after pets or bonus kids, whatever it is. I was just saying to Carol before that I believe that we're in that parent role when we have somebody that depends on us and we love, nurture, and care for them. So you all need to be celebrated. So Carol J. Oakley, she was on the Angel Rock, by the way. We think it was about three and a half years ago, right, Carol?
Something like that.
So let me I knew I had your bio here. I got all these pages to pull out. So Carol J. Oakley is the author of Embracing the Ties That Bind, I'm Still With You, and Soul to Soul Connections. She's communicated with souls who have crossed into the spirit world through thousands of private and group sessions. She has earned a reputation in her geographical area and has the real deal among psychic mediums. She travels nationally to speak and teach workshops, as well as maintaining a practice and mediumship near her Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're going to be talking about the afterlife, your new book, and much more. And you just told me before the show you've got another one coming up. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Poor Carol, because I'm speaking all this tech language. Never fails with live shows, right? I've got everything all set up. I had it set up at lunchtime and everything to go, and I pushed to turn it back on, and my computer decided, no, I'm not going to cooperate with you tonight. So to restart it and then reset up a few things. So I'm glad you were patient. Thank you. Do you want to share the title again of your new book with us?
Yeah, well, the latest book is called Wisdom from the Spirit World. That was published in late 2020. Mm-hmm. And then I have a new book coming out later this year. Mm-hmm. So the most recent one that is currently published is Wisdom from the Spirit World.
Well, let's back up a little bit, because if you're open to it, it's always interesting to talk about how did you realize you were a medium and an intuitive? Because everybody has a different story. Are you comfortable with sharing that?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, my story begins many, many years ago when I got into a lot of trouble with drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
I was in my 20s, and long story short with that, I got sober. Mm-hmm. And went to 12-step programs. That's where my intensive journey of spirituality began.
Okay.
But it was the very beginnings of my transformation and opening. And today I'm very, very grateful that I went through that, very painful at the time. But just like anything else in life, when we look back at it, we can say, ah, that's how something very painful or quote negative can actually serve me. And interestingly, throughout the years, and I've been doing readings professionally almost 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, long time. So I've done many readings for people who have lost loved ones to addiction, you know, overdoses, lately it's the opioid overdoses, and also people that have that family pattern of addiction. And so that's
my family.
That's how my past and my own personal experience has served me to help others. And from there, you know, this very early beginnings, I started going to a metaphysical center in a small town near where I live. And as soon as I walked into that center, I felt as if I was home. They did a lot of hands-on healing, Reiki, spiritual healing. And so I began to take many, many classes there. And one right after the other, I couldn't download things quickly enough once I stepped onto that pathway. Also went to a place called Delphi. It's near Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
I got certified in mediumship there. And I've taken a lot of training through a British medium. I continue with training. Also, Lilydale, New York. And I've taught at Lilydale many times.
Did you? I know Lilydale's a big event, and I got hooked on it years ago. No One Ever Really Dies in Lilydale was that documentary put out by HBO, I think it was. I don't know if you've seen it or not. And I had a very close friend who used to call me her adopted mama. And she passed away this year, and I missed her so much. But she used to work quite a bit at Lilydale. I don't know, you may have run into her, you may not have, Lois T. Martin. She was a numerologist, astrologist, just one of the funniest, just down to earth, like would just tell you like it was. And I miss her so much. That's why I smiled when you talked about Lilydale.
Yeah, now what I do there, I used to teach in person, but they have Zoom workshops. So I've taught through those a couple of times too. I do a lot of, I've done a lot of teaching, you know, spiritual, all spiritually themed, including the spiritual significance and archetypes of the tarot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the tarot is actually exceedingly spiritual. It's been demonized, you know, by organized religion, but it's very spiritually based in that it shows the journey of the soul from the Fool card all the way up to, you know, the world. Those are the major arcana. So, yeah, any topic you can probably think of, the Akashic Files, a lot of things on there. In fact, Wisdom from the Spirit World, the whole first section is called You Signed Up for This.
You Signed Up for This, okay.
And it's all on the Akashic Files, on how the soul plans through these things called, I call them blueprints. Mm-hmm. Some mediums call them contracts. I call them blueprints because they're much more open-ended in that we have choice. Absolutely. In how we're going to meet the what we planned.
We do have a question going back a little bit through your history. So Carrie Lynn was asking, did you have experiences before training, maybe as a child?
Absolutely not.
No? No. You know what? Don't feel bad because, okay, so.
But I wish I would, like some mediums you hear, oh, you know, when I was a child, I saw a spirit all the time and all this. Now, if you look at my astrological birth chart, and that's another thing I've studied for many years is astrology, pretty diverse in what I offer. You can see right there in my birth chart that I was born with a predisposition of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. But it's just like anything else. Unless you develop it, you know, like a musician or an athlete, it kind of lies dormant. So actually, ironically, I didn't come into this till I was in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And that was through a very strange thing. That was a fire.
I'm going to stop you for 1 sec because I'm going to share with you the reason why I said don't feel bad. I know you don't. It's just a saying. Mine came through when after I hurt my back and running into patients, and it all happened on the weekend before Christmas. I always had spiritual and paranormal type experiences throughout my lifetime, but I did talk to I believe it was my guides at nighttime quite a bit. But yeah, I never really tuned into it either till my late 30s. I'm going to share this and then I want to hear all about this because that's interesting, a fire. Carrie Lynn said, that's so interesting. I love hearing people's stories. Thank you for being so transparent and sharing your time and knowledge with all of us.
So I'm extremely transparent. I tell you, in every interview I've done, many, many years of radio, podcasting, I am genuine and I'm very real. That's just who I am.
And I you said this happened with a fire. Wow.
Yeah. Overnight, electrical fire. It was in the business I was running at the time. Again, my late 30s, and got the phone call 4 o'clock in the morning, better get down here, place is on fire. I threw on clothes and drove down. It was only about 5 minutes to get to the place. And my heart sunk when I saw like 3 fire trucks there. Mm-hmm. And, the bottom line was I wasn't really able to start that up again. Mm-hmm. So I believe it was spirit or the God energy taking me off of that pathway. Who knows? But it did take me off of that pathway. Mm-hmm. It set me squarely onto my life's calling. And I am of the school that mediums are born, really not made. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody can hone an ability and so forth. It's like me, I love music. I wish I could play the piano on stage or an instrument, but I will never be able to do that. I might be able to play chopsticks or something, but I believe that if you're called to be on this pathway, you will know it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not paying attention, as you were saying, you can have something catastrophic happen. Mm-hmm. And it's literally as though you're picked up and set down in a different location, and you go through a transformative event like that.
No, I agree with you. I think though intuitively we all know, like you said, it doesn't matter. You don't have to prove to people, like you said, with what happened with the fire, you weren't able to go back to that, but it set you squarely on the path that where you've, like, you know, you almost feel like, yeah, this is what I meant to be doing. So you don't have to prove that to anybody, right? Because you know, I think we all intuitively know because we know ourselves the best and we know our lives the best, right? So yes, I've heard many stories like exactly like what you shared, and like somebody looking at that might, because I just love when people say, oh, it was just a coincidence. I think that when we're in this field, we know there are no such things as coincidences, don't we?
There's only synchronicity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know what synchronicity is, it means a meaningful coincidence, not meaningful. And two things that are seemingly unrelated, but they occur at the same time. So there can be synchronous, you know, I talk about this all the time and in my books, you know, oh, I was thinking of my deceased son and I went over the hillside and there was a rainbow there. Or, you know, my dad comes with the cardinals. I see the same numbers all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the song that my mom loved by Frank Sinatra came on the radio when I was thinking mm-hmm. about her. Those are examples of synchronicity.
I like to call it being in the right place at the right time. Or like Carrie Lynn, like I think it's so weird with her because we've become friends. And like, I do believe in telepathy, so I will send her a message. I'm thinking about you. You know, we both have a busy day. It's the weekend, whatever, right? And then sure enough, like both of us will do that. Then we'll just all of a sudden think of the other person and message them, right? But I think that we're so, part of my message, I think, when I'm teaching people and why I'm here is to remind people that we are so much more than we've ever been taught that we are, because I think human beings are incredibly powerful individuals. Like, we have so many gifts, and building off of what you said, like, would you love to be on stage playing the piano? Probably not going to happen, right? You'd have to put a ton of work into it. You build it on it. You know, if you really want to make it happen, people can force it to happen. But what people don't realize is we have so many gifts that we've never been taught are possible or you know, that we can access. Because so this is my belief, and I'd love to hear what you think, and it's not a challenge. I just love to hear what other people think. You know, with looking at near-death experiences and children who remember their past lives, having studied that for quite a few years, I can't tell you how many videos I come across. I'm talking really little ones. Like we're talking like 18 months old, 2 months old. How many of them, there's videos, there's one that I showed on my other show a couple of weeks ago, and it's a little girl and she's at her grandma's gravesite, and she can barely talk, and she's going, my dad. And she's going, I love you too. And she's blowing kisses and whatever, right? And I forget what she says, but you know, she can see spirit. And I really believe children and animals especially can see spirit. And I would love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, I concur 100%. And it's because children and animals are very pure.
Living in the now.
They don't judge. The ego is not, animals don't have ego. Mm-hmm. With children, up until about the age of 7, the ego is not fully developed. We know the brain isn't developed fully until, sometimes into our 20s. Mm-hmm. But they're very pure. And they're fresher from the spirit world, children. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And animals, they operate, they're always in the now. They're always right here, right now. I actually consider them spiritually superior to us.
I call them earth animal angels, personally. I think
they do not dissect. They don't discriminate. They don't judge. So mm-hmm. they're very pure. And so when we, in mediumship training, and with mediumship, you sort of have to enter into that state of openness, that state of purity, which is still inside of us, no matter how old we become, going above the rational mind and into that imaginative state, because that is the same location in the brain, whatever you want to call that, the sensing place. That imagination comes from. That's the same place mediumship and psychism comes from.
I agree 100%. I had a friend on the first year I was on this network, Dr. Chuck Kennedy, and he's got like a master's in nursing and I think a doctorate in neuroscience or what have you. And he's really gotten into studying where does psychic ability come from. So I still remember this. I had him on and he was a real jokester. And he said, Lorelei, you don't have a couple million dollars to buy me a CT scan. So he goes, what did they use to map the brain way back in the day? And I said, ECG machines, right? Like when they check for seizures. So he ended up buying one. And there's a friend of mine that's been on here before. He was friends with her too, Katrina Cooper, who's a medium. And he actually has it filmed with her consent, and he starts mapping the brain when she's actually doing mediumship. And it's his belief that the psychic ability is located right behind the left ear, and he's named it the region of psi. So again, I don't know if it's real or not, but it certainly sounded like some interesting science he was getting into. Because I remember somebody in the chat was asking, can you tell the difference between if somebody's using their imagination versus psychic ability? And he actually could. He said, I had one lady who was a very good, and he was lumping in mediumship, the term of psychic. I know they're not the same in our world, but those were the terms he was using. And he had said she was a very good medium, but when she would lose her confidence, she would slip into the imagination region of the brain. And he said, I was actually able to help her a little bit with focusing by just gently reminding her that I can see from the way it's mapping. And I thought that was so cool. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I have not, but I do know that a lot of mediums have been tested. I mean, scientifically. Certainly, yeah. I mean, the imaginative, that's actually part of training in mediumship.
It is, and I agree 100%.
As far as, closing your eyes, mm-hmm. and you choose a room in your home, And you in your imagination, you go into that room and you look around. You're using your internal viewing screen. And you're you know, getting those sorts of perceptions. And what it really does, it strengthens and flexes that muscle that is used in mediumship.
And I think the other thing I was going to add quickly that I don't think we're taught as in the muggle world, as I like to call it, I borrow from Harry Potter, we're not taught to pay attention to our other senses. So I think that's a beautiful exercise that you shared, because especially if we are, we're sighted, right? We tend to just see things. We don't pay attention to maybe necessarily what we're feeling, what, you know, in our body somewhere. If it's a really strong smell, we're going to smell it, obviously. But smell, are we hearing anything else? Like, you know, you taste, and people don't, aren't taught to pay attention to that. Would you agree with that too?
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially nowadays, because of the inundation of so much information coming from us every direction. I mean, we got the television, we got the radio, we got the internet, and a gazillion things we can tune in with on the internet, on a phone, you know, a cell phone. So I think that a lot of people in the modern age, we have to tune certain things out. And the, you know, mediumship development and mediumship, the art of mediumship, is actually an inner focusing and becoming aware of what is arising on this, the inner viewing screen, and importantly, through clairsentience, which means feeling or sensing. And actually, clairsentience is where everything arises from. So it's sort of, pardon me, an impression that one will get. And so I sense, you know, male or female, what did they pass from? What was their personality like? These are all examples of clairsentience, of sensing. Now, clairvoyance and clairaudience, seeing and hearing, respectively, those arise usually from clairsentience. So if you work on your clairsentience, you know, as your ground level, that is where the other senses flow from. By the way, I just wanted to mention, you mentioned about smelling and so forth. The spiritual phenomena of smelling, it's called clairgustience or
clair. I knew that. I just didn't want to say, because there's a lot of people, I thought, oh, then we're going to have to get into it. But I'm glad you mentioned it. Yes, thank you.
So it is, continue. You know, there's so many people I've read for, and they'll say, you know, the other day I know I smelled my mother's perfume, you know, just out of nowhere. I was just sitting, you know, wherever, in my living room or whatever. My dad smoked. You know, all of a sudden I smelled cigarette smoke. In my second book, I'm Still With You, there's a story there called Little Green Apples. And it's about a client and her daughter who came. Her mother always baked pies, apple pies. And they would smell that smell of the Granny Smith apples and the baking of that pie. And they knew grandma was around. So these are real things.
Happened yesterday. Go ahead. Sorry. Then I'll share that.
I was just going to say a lot of these things have happened to me personally.
I just said, I'll share a story. Please share.
Yeah. Not from my own relatives. I'm talking about, I lived in a house. I've lived in a couple of haunted houses, but I lived in a house, and I would wake up in the morning. There would be a distinct odor of coffee. I do not drink coffee. I hate it. It's way too bitter for me.
It wasn't a good smell.
Nobody. I love the smell, but I don't like the taste. So I would wake up and nobody's in the home. And I'm like, there's a smell of coffee. It was from the woman who used to live there. She raised four children there. And she always had coffee going in the morning.
That is so cool, because I had something happen yesterday. I had a really big healing session done with somebody I'd booked for myself as a little treat, and we shifted a lot of stuff. So I was sitting outside and had some decisions I still have to make. And I was sitting there, I was having a chat with my guys, because I'm really clairaudient. So for people who may not be familiar with that listening, it's I can hear. I'm not hearing voices. I love how you said the interviewing screen. I always say within the mind's eye, but I like what you just said, the interviewing screen. So I just casually say, hey guys, I'm really going to need to lean on you in the next few weeks. And, you know, if you're around, please let me know. Just casually, as I'm scrolling on my phone, right, having this inner dialogue, all of a sudden I am hit with this smell of perfume. And it is so strong. It wasn't unpleasant, but it's almost, and I was sharing it with, I don't talk to Carrie Lynn all the time, but I talked to her last night, I was saying, like, I don't know how to describe it. It would be something that, like, maybe a grandmother or older lady would have worn, but it was so strong. Like I literally went, whoa, who's wearing the perfume? And I'm outside and I'm looking around, thinking, is there somebody out here? And I went, oh, okay, thank you. And just as soon as it was there, it was gone. And I believe I know who it was. But the thing is, I wasn't expecting it, right? I was just sort of having that inner banter that I normally have. But it was one of the strongest smelling smells I have ever, ever smelled. It just about blew me away. So,
yeah. Well, you know why the spirit world uses scent? Mm-hmm. Because smell is, of our five physical senses, it is the most closely connected to memory. And it can also be a form of identification of that person, you know, that's want you to know. I call them calling cards. When I teach, I say to people, many people over the years have asked me, clients have said, how can I feel my mom? How can I feel my dad, my husband, or whoever? And so what I say is, sit quietly. Don't expect overnight results. But sit quietly, ask them to give you their personal, unique calling card.
I like
that. And it might be some sort of sensation on your body. It might be a feeling, you know, an emotional feeling. It might be what you described, you know, with a particular scent. Mm-hmm. I have had a spirit guide. He's in his last incarnation. He was a Hindu gentleman, Indian. And sometimes when he would connect with me, I would get the smell of Nag Champa incense. Mm. And that's an Indian incense. And, you know, that hasn't happened in a while, but sometimes, you know, that would happen. So I would know that it was him telling me that he was connected. Mm-hmm. And so there's many, many people, I would say probably out of all the signs people get, I would probably say that either synchronistic events, you know, these occurrences that happen that are amazing, or this clairalience are probably the most common.
I'm glad. So I don't normally read the questions, but I was just sort of looking because Gavin's so amazing. Gavin Davies, how we've connected. And so I'm going to go through that, though. So we shared some of the ways that our loved ones can communicate with us. And I know you've mentioned cardinals or butterflies, but I love what you said too. Don't always expect something immediately. And when I'm teaching, I say to people, we also have to be open to the interpretation. So say, I think I like the way you've worded it. Please show me your personal calling card. I've also said, you know, spirit will also work with you. So say I've met people before, because I worked in palliative care too, and their loved one before they went said, I'll always send you a yellow butterfly and you'll know it's me. So, you know, maybe after they pass, the person's really grieving. I said, it may not always be a physical yellow butterfly. It could be all of a sudden you're seeing them everywhere, or you're hearing songs about yellow butterflies, or, you know, billboards with it, or whatever it is, to pay attention, because I'm sure you get this all the time too. I know I do, is people will say exactly what you shared earlier. I'm pretty sure I smelled my mom's perfume. Do you think it was my mom? And I always ask them, well, what do you think? Right? Because if they're asking, you know what, I always feel they know it's their mom or whoever they're thinking it might be.
Right. But
they're not able to really trust it, right? Because we're always led to believe it's our imagination or what have you. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I absolutely believe so much. I mean, I have experienced so much, and not just me, but I mean, through my client, through reading for people, I've, you know, heard so many things. And every time I say, you know, I think I've heard everything, something else happens. You know, somebody, I remember one time a gentleman came, this was many years ago. I was still doing in-person readings. Now I do everything through Zoom or the phone. That's how I do all my private readings. I really prefer not seeing people. It's very pure.
That's how I do all my work. People give me a hard time that I don't have an office, and no, this is my space. And
So it's very pure that way. This gentleman came and he says, you know, and we did a couple of things in the reading and so forth. And then he says, well, now I need to ask you something. He says, I'm having a peculiar circumstance in my home. Have you ever heard of this? He had his toilet would flush on its own. Mm-hmm. And so that's at the point that I said, okay, I think I've heard it all. And he goes, I've just never heard of this. And I said, well, you're the first one that's told me this, but do I believe spirit can do that? Yes.
Oh, I've heard of it lots.
Well, there's many other things too, but that's kind of a funny one. You know, but
there's why I mention it though, and I say I've heard of it lots, because I've had people that have had with working in the paranormal, never wanted to work in that field. And I've just realized, I think it's kind of part of the work I'm going to be doing. So sometimes people get some activity and they're not sure, is it negative? Is it positive? What mm-hmm. is it? So I always tell people, if it's your loved one and they weren't a big joker or pull mean pranks or anything in life, they certainly aren't going to be doing that in death. Second of all, how did it make you feel? What did you think? Like right with the toilet flushing, like, what did you think? And go from feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it is really important to have discernment. That's why I always discourage Ouija boards. And, you know, I really don't think it's really good to become obsessed with the paranormal, like with haunted places or whatever. I don't do that work.
I would not be doing what I'm doing had I not had the experience. And I don't work in that field. I consider myself a light worker, but I will get people contacting me. Like, I don't do mm-hmm. house clearings and things like that. Usually what I end up doing is connecting people or teaching themselves, usually, how to empower themselves to raise the vibration in the house, to, you know, maybe their house is really cluttered. That's not a judgment, but I believe everything's energy. So stagnant energy can stagnate. I think we're in a 3D existence, right? We've got night, we've got day, we've got hot, we've got cold. And I always say, ideally, I believe a human being, and I talk about chakras or chakra, I know you'll know that, but for people listening, you know, this energy core, and I explain that there's many more, if you will, people call it entries, portals, but however you want to describe it. But ideally, I see a human being would be perfectly grounded to Gaia and perfectly connected to source or whatever their belief system is, and that perfect yin-yang balance of, if you will, black and white. So we're going to have negative, is my thought. Not everybody believes that, and I don't focus on it either, but it always seemed to find me in my practice. And I actually worked with my Akashic Records mentor quite a bit about this, because I said, why is this happening? I really don't want to work with this kind of stuff. So I've sort of accepted that some of it is my life's work. I didn't mean to give such a long explanation, but I hope that cleared things a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've done professional investigations for people. There certainly wasn't a like evil things going on.
It's not common.
The thing that people have to realize is that not just structures hold energy, land holds energy. Maybe. And I can't tell you how many times, even over the phone, you know, I don't have to be at the physical location to feel and sense what's going on. It's kind of like, if you know, remote viewing or traveling clairvoyance, it's called. And there are many, many times that I will perceive that the individual that's having this phenomenon going on, they live on Native American land that used to be Native American land. You know, the natives were revered, the earth. The earth is sacred, still is to them, as well as a lot of the animals. So sometimes you will get phenomena on land. And it, even if there's a new structure, a new home,
doesn't change it.
It doesn't, because that portal or that vibration is sort of in the etheric atmosphere, the etheric being sort of a double of the physical. And so you'll have sort of this replay that's going on.
It's interesting that you shared that, because I'm where I live is, I live about 6.5 hours north of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm about 35, 40 minutes away from the Minnesota border, but I'm in Canada and Ontario, and we live on the shores of Lake Superior, but the population is a very strong First Nations Ojibwe population, a bit of Cree, and I've really recently discovered that I have what's called Métis roots, so First Nation and another nationality. But the reason I mention it, I'm not sure what's going on in this city, but anything you can think of is here. Anything. That's why I think it's interesting that they're booking this conference in October, because like that, for example, like I've had people send me pictures. They fell through the ice in one of the most beautiful freshwater lakes. My partner's family has a camp actually on it. It's just gorgeous. So it's like going into a different dimension. But in the, you can see in the picture, there is a person, a woman's face in there. It's not, you know, I don't think it's people making it up, that they, you know, how our minds want to make it up. And they think that they, pareidolia is called, they think they see a face, like the human, like when we look in the clouds, we think we see shapes. It is so clear. I had somebody else send me, like, I've got video of UFOs, like from around here. We've got all kinds of stuff, because it's kind of like being in Wisconsin or Minnesota though too, right? A lot of rural, fresh area, a lot of First Nations roots there. And I'm just really getting into the belief systems about that. I've been looking into, I found this great channel on YouTube, and it's called Sean Klun Productions, I think. But he is a guardian for the Navajo tribe, as well as his brother Hero. And he's been teaching on there. And it's very intriguing to hear the beautiful connection and belief systems, like exactly what you said, with animals and the earth and respect for it. And so I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And we don't always know the history of the land that we live on either, do we?
No, but if you're sensitive, you can, you're sensitive to what went on the land, what went on that land prior to. There's been many, many interesting revelations I've had.
Yeah.
I mean, doing, you know, working for clients, and some of them, I actually do go out in person, and it's interesting, because there's information that will come through, I guess, psychically more than mediumistically. It's not a single soul who's communicating that to me or blending with me, but information about the history of the land, you know, what went on in that land, what was connected to it over the years. Everything is energy. Everything has a vibration. Everything is energetic in some way. And becoming aware of that is, you know, and see, the thing is, most people already do that, but they just don't realize they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've ever gone into a place, you know, that's not your home, but, you know, another, someone else's home or another place, and you either get a really good positive sense about it, or you feel creepy in there, or you feel like, you know, it feels like just very closed. It feels like maybe there was some fighting that went on here, arguing went on here. These are the things. People pick that up, but they may not be recognizing that they're actually doing it. Exactly. It's, you heard the expression, the gut feeling.
Yes.
That's what that is. It's a sensing of energy. That can be from the environment. It can also be your soul communicating with you. I call the soul how the divine spirit communicates through people. And the compass is intuition.
So what type of information do you think the souls will share from your perspective?
Well, number one, the soul's chosen pathway and promptings to step onto that pathway through affinity with it. I'm not talking about just mediumship here. I mean, anything that you feel really drawn to. In my forthcoming book, I talk all about that. So maybe if you and I do a future interview, we'll talk about that.
I just had a great question. Sometimes this pops in. So what are your thoughts about, okay, so for example, never was looking for it, right? I'm always open to sort of what shows up. I'm always researching something or look, I always love learning, right? I think we, without judgment, you know, if we're open to it, I'm going to be a lifelong learner. I love to learn something, at least one new thing every day. And there's this child over in Russia, I believe it is, or the Ukraine, and his parents are musicians. I'll give him that. But he's in a diaper at 7 months old and he's already playing on the piano, like melodies. Like this child can't even walk it, barely sit up. And yet I've seen progressive videos. I think he's about three and he's playing concert concertos on the piano. So he's been labeled a prodigy. So what are your thoughts about prodigies that come through? What do you think about that?
Well, my own, I do not think any, you will never hear me use the word gifted about myself. I believe everything that we have and we express has been earned in some way. Souls like that could have been a musician prior lifetime. In some way connected to, it could have even been tribal music. It could have been something in which there was an ability to hear in the mind and to then, it's channeling. I mean, it's the same thing, you know, and putting that out on an instrument. I truly believe that. I do not believe anything is by accident. I do not believe in gifts. I believe that everything in some way has been earned. That's my school that I have felt that I have experienced through 30 years of doing mediumship. Now, can things be developed and refined? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can be born. It's just like, you know, with a raw, it's like taking a raw material out of the earth and you have to refine it. You have to clean it up. You have to get into the details of it. So it's like that with anything. Sometimes with these, you know, people who are very advanced or like with these prodigies, and I see it too in amazing talents, like, you know, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, some of the other folks that died at a young age. It's just like they're so intense that they can only stay here in this physical plane for so long. And either it's too painful for them, which I really perceived with someone like Michael Jackson, that he was so sensitive. He had a Pisces moon. He was born in a Pisces moon. I was born with a Pisces moon. I know about the sensitivity of the moon in Pisces. It's extremely sensitive. It's like a sponge. So, sometimes these souls burn out here in the physical world very early.
I agree with you 100%. You know what I wanted to ask you? We've got Kasun here from Sri Lanka. We got Julie. I didn't get a chance to say hi to you either. She said evening from England. She hangs out with us to almost the end. She tries to, it's almost 1 a.m. by the time she goes to bed. So thank you for being here. I think it's the middle of the, it's like 3 or 4 a.m. in Sri Lanka. So thanks for tuning in, guys. But we got this question actually on Thursday. David, my co-host, is an angel channel and a medium too. On Thursday nights, we do a show called The Thing at the Foot of the Bed, and people get to ask some of the questions about what I'm about to ask you. But Kasun had asked us at the last moment, how do you develop your psychic gifts and what have you? So I think we're going to cover some of that. You're welcome to answer that. But what I wanted to ask you, because I think people, you know, are really fascinated by mediumship, especially listening to some of the TV shows that are out there and what have you. My personal opinion, with no disrespect to anybody, is remember it's TV and it's not reality TV. But what's the number one message from the spirit world in terms of frequency do you deliver to those that work with you for a reading?
I'm not gone. I'm not dead.
Yeah.
My consciousness continues. Now that seems, in fact, in Wisdom from the Spirit World, that book is about 8, 9, I can't remember how many, but there's at least 8 or 9 lessons, repeating themes I've heard over and over and over and over. And they were in these, the threads of things I've heard through multiple readings. At this point, I think I've done over 14,000, probably closer to 15,000, many, many readings. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. I go on. And I'm still with you. That's why I named my second book what I did. I'm still with you. Mm-hmm. I heard myself saying that over and over in sessions. Your husband says he's still around you. He's still with you. Also, about another compelling message is the bond of love is eternal.
It is.
So, you know, people who have lost children, people who have lost pets. I put myself in that category because I've had beloved pets. They were like my children. I just lost my big orange cat in November. I'm still not over that. But to know that we're still with them in a sense. I mean, it's different frequencies.
I've gotten pictures of them. Debbie's not here tonight, but Debbie Grassberger Schmoly, she pops in here every now and then. It was years ago, one of the people that'll watch on here. And we were talking on Skype and on video. And all of a sudden I said to her, did you used to have a cat that laid on the bed right beside you? And she said, oh my gosh, yeah, why? And I said, I swear to God to you, he's see-through, but I can see him and he's grooming himself. He just looked, because she goes, oh my gosh, that's my boo. That was the name of the cat. And the cat turned its head and looked at her and it was kind of flicking its tail and stuff. She goes, take a picture. So I took a bunch of pictures. So it didn't look like much to me from the screen, and she is intuitive. So she took a look afterwards and she says she can actually see two of her cats and their boo and the one that had passed previously. And that's not the first time, like, cats visit us. Have you found that yourself? Not just cats, but loved ones.
I have seen my big orange guy. His name was Embers. I have seen him.
My dog's name is Ember. Sorry, that's why I did that. Sorry, go ahead.
Here comes the synchronicity.
Yes.
That's amazing. I've never talked to anyone else who had a pet with that name. I have seen him since he's passed and in different places. This is through clairvoyance, not full body manifestation, but in different places in my home here, I have seen him. I don't mean like a fuzzy outline. I'm talking a photographic flash.
Yeah.
That I have literally seen him. And I mean, in the living room where he used to hang out, in the kitchen, I've seen him probably about six times, and he just passed in November. So last November, 2023.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, and cats especially,
they're healing. They're so healing.
Are very tuned in with
the spirit world.
And you'll see them sometimes, they're looking around, looking, and there's nothing there. You know, not all of that is perception of spirit, but I believe some of it
they
is.
They meditate quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll tell you what else they do, and I would never believe this if it didn't happen to me. Mm-hmm. My big orange guy that passed, he could bilocate.
Wow.
I would see him. I exercise every morning and I have my equipment in my basement. Mm-hmm. And there was times I'd be down there. This is when he was still in the physical. Mm-hmm. And I would do a double take because I could swear I saw him there in the basement. And, you know, then I looked and he wouldn't be there. But that happened numerous times.
That's so cool.
So I believe they can bilocate or astrally travel. Yeah.
Well, people are sharing some comments. We're getting some questions. So I'll read those in just a sec. But just so you, to share another experience, I believe you 100%. I also believe we don't get the animal we necessarily want. We get the animal we need to help us with whatever we're going to be working on, what have you. I really do believe they are what our guides on this earth. And so my son that has severe autism, he's 26. He was the one that named the dog Ember, believe it or not. I don't know where he got the name from, but he was deeply, he especially it's with cats, but he had this cat he had received for his birthday. He was about 10 or 11, turning 10 or 11, and it was Mocha. And he is limited verbally, and you would hear him, and it was in my previous home, and you'd hear him say, Mocha, and the cat would be like, meow, 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 meow. Like they were having a conversation, I swear. And Mocha died very quickly and very suddenly. She developed something called a saddle thrombus, so this blood clot, and it was very, very traumatic. And happened so quickly. And it was the worst thing I ever had to do was to tell my, because my boys love animals like I do. They can communicate with them, have since the day they've talked. And I had to tell them, you need to say goodbye to Mocha. And, you know, for him to try and understand death and the whole bit. Anyways, I had to bring Mocha in. We were all deeply, deeply grieving because I've never seen another human being as devoted to an animal as he was with Mocha. That night, my bedroom was in the basement, and I would spend obviously a lot of time with him with what he was going through. And as we were going through the bedroom door, we both heard Mocha meow. And still to this day, he loves to be tucked in. I always say he's at that precocious age of a 5 to 7 year old. But for months afterwards, Mocha used to sleep on his bed. And as I was tucking him in, we used to feel a big plop, and you'd see a little bit of an indentation like Mocha. Mm-hmm. Mocha was, he lost 70 pounds. He's a big boy. He lost 70 pounds over that cat. He had such a tough time. So my heart goes up to you with your loss over
it. Well, you know, that's another interesting synchronicity between us. My embers went the same way. We did not have an autopsy done, but I believe that it was an embolism. I was out at a healing group. I was with my friends, had a wonderful time. We did healings. Everything was fine. I was in a great mood. I came home. My husband says, you know, I fed the other two cats. I can't find embers. And so I start looking through the house. This is like 10:30 at night. And I'm looking around. Finally, I turn on the overhead light in our formal living room. And there he was in the corner, deceased. Oh. And he just went in. He was never ill. I mean, it just was like that. And, you know, in a way, I feel like it's given me, and I'm still not over it, but it's given me a firsthand experience of what a lot of my clients who had a sudden passing of, you know, a human being, it's still grief. And you know, I really understand that firsthand now, because I never really lost a person in my life that quickly or unexpectedly. And, you know, so I think of him. And interestingly, too, clairaudience, you mentioned about the meow. I have gotten that. It's actually woken me up.
Yeah.
Where I will hear a loud meow and none of the other cats are in.
You know, mom, I'm around. See, no, I worked in, I always say I was so deeply blessed in my nursing career before I hurt my back. I was there hundreds of times at the beginning of life. And being a NICU nurse, it never ceased to amaze me. And at the end of my nursing career, I did a lot of technical stuff out in the community as a community visiting nurse, but my passion has always been end-stage care, palliative care, and you know, being at the bedside when people would chose to pass from home to, as I call it, going their life here, but going back home, as I call it. And you know, especially helping people with grieving. And I always, my belief is with grief, it's very personal. Nobody has the right to tell anybody how to grieve or how to feel. And it's, you know, that grief really doesn't go away. What ends up happening, I think, with the passage of time is it's almost like a different type of normal is there. And you were so bonded with Embers, I can tell. And so he's letting you know he's there. Hey, mom, I'm here. And with grief, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You know, it naturally obviously puts us in a lower vibrational energy state. And for people with us talking about everything is energy. And sometimes from the spirit world, you know, they're in that high vibrational space. So you'll hear, I don't know if you get this, I'm sure you do, with the amount of readings you've done, people will say, I don't think they're here anymore. I can't feel them. So I usually say to them, they are there with you. I mean, I'm not going to lie to them, but if I see or feel or connect with what's there, and it's okay that you don't feel them, just you're going to have to trust that they're there, and then explain about the grief process. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned earlier in this interview that people will say, how can I feel my son? How can I feel my husband or my wife or whatever? And so, you know, everybody has those inner senses, every human being. Yeah. It's just that some of us have developed those, mm-hmm. you know, to the point where we're very sensitive with those inner senses of, you know, I think probably the easiest thing that people can do is to do the, you know, get quiet. Mm-hmm. And you can use a photograph as well of the person or the pet mm-hmm. and have it there in front of you, maybe light a little candle. And, you know, ask them to come to you again with that sort of calling card. It may take.
I like that. I'm giving you credit for that one a lot because I like that.
It's like a business card. It's like a business card. So ask them to come to you in their unique way. You know, now the other thing that can happen, these things called dream visitations.
Yes.
So we can actually have, those are not psychologically processing types of dreams. They're actually a connection between two souls. And it's very real. You will feel as if that individual is there with you. You will feel them. I mean, it's not like they're distant or you see them walking off in the distance. It's an actual connection. And it's very, very profound. It's very powerful. I think we're fortunate. Now that I would call a gift because it's always at the discretion of the spirit world. Mm-hmm. I have begged my grandmother to come back. She came to me about 20 years ago and it was so profound. It was just, I wrote about it in my third book, but I've begged her to come back because I never experienced the sensation of love like I did in that connection with my grandmother. There's nothing here on this earth that can compare to it. Nothing.
Well, there's not even a word with, you know, like I say, I don't necessarily remember a lot of the near-death experience I had being a toddler, but once I start to talk with people about it, the memories almost come flooding back, and about love, there's just, you don't even have a word in our language. Doesn't matter what language it
is.
That's right. But what I will, you know, when I'm working with people, for example, and I always tell people when I work with them, and I know you're very ethical and professional too, you know, that what's shared between me and them is, it will always remain. I don't know what my computer's doing. Sorry, it just went black on me. Sorry. I always tell them what's shared between us will always stay between us, and not going to talk to anybody. I always say it's in the vault, like from Seinfeld. But I sometimes will use an experience as a teaching experience. And the reason why I say this, I've had someone recently I work with regularly for energy healing and all kinds of things. And they've connected with somebody on the spirit world. Like we've been connecting with one of their guides, for example, and they feel like they're not able to meet up in the dream state with them. They haven't been there. Kind of the same thing like you said, you've been asking and asking and asking. And one of the messages I did receive, I believe, is it's almost like it becomes distracting, because this was a different relationship than grandmother and granddaughter. And even though they may still not feel this individual around in spirit form, they are there. But this person's done so much healing and inner work to be able, they're standing back a little bit now. It's like, you've got this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why that would happen with your grandmother. Your grandmother knows, right? Because that love, like, I don't want to use the word addicting, but it almost is, right? Because want to spend the time there.
It reminds me, you're absolutely correct. There are people over the years, many, many people, mm-hmm. and I'll say, you know, when my dad first died, I felt him all the time. Mm-hmm. When my son died, you know, he sent us all these signs. Now we don't feel him at all. Mm-hmm. So what I say to them is, he hasn't gone away from you. That love is eternal and it's a bond. But he knows that you don't need that as much now. Yes. And also that you still have a life here in the physical world.
Exactly.
You know, you are not meant to constantly be, you know, in the spirit world. Because, I mean, honestly, you've probably done readings for people who have lost children. Some of them just, mm-hmm. they don't want to be here anymore because they're so devastated. And so, you know, they get over it, but, you know, spirit knows that. And I believe that there's advisors or spirit guides, spirit team, I call them, who say, you know, this is not going to be good for your mother who's there.
It's not helping with progression and growth, right? And again, I'm going to say, I don't think sometimes grief can become problematic to the point if somebody is almost just sitting in a room, not eating, not drinking, and it's going on for a long, long time and becoming detrimental. Sometimes that needs some help. But that's why I always say the grief journey is so personal. And I don't think it ever goes away like that. You know, like you said, with your cat embers or anything, especially when it's a deep, deep connection, like it's just over time, right? It starts to almost grow a different type of normal, if you will. It's always going to be there, I think. I don't know. What do you think with grief?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, people have to know too, you know, the ADCs or after-death communication that happen, and that's without a medium, that just happen between the spirit world and the receiver. Mm-hmm. Those may not be forever. So you have to train yourself to connect through the heart. You have to train yourself to connect through the inner senses. Mm-hmm. Consider yourself very blessed if you do get a dream connection or you do get those signs. Mm-hmm. You know, I know people have read for people, they're begging for those. And they don't get it.
I always tell people, though, do you tell them this? Like I always say to them, no, I haven't run into it yet. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to, and this is what it is, that somebody is hell-bent on they only want this person to come through and they only want to speak to this person. It's the only person they're going to speak to. And I always tell them there's no guarantees. You know, we've had
absolutely can't. I tell people that at the very beginning.
So do I.
I am here's what I say. Just a reminder, as a genuine medium, I can never guarantee
that's what I tell them.
making people come here. They can come here, or not 95% of the time, who they want to hear from will come.
Exactly.
There is that 5% of the time that, you know, or there's times that they go, why would, you know, like I had somebody the other day, it was a complete surprise. And it was an ex-husband or something, and he needed to apologize because he had wreaked a lot of havoc when he was here, on top of, you know, taking his own life. So the thing is, that's called surrender. It's surrendering to the spirit world. You surrender to that communicator, and it's not about the medium. You're simply a bridge. That's all that is. And that has to happen to really preserve the integrity of the reading.
I always explain it to people exactly what you said. I always call myself the male person in a way, right? To try and explain it to people, especially with healing work and things like that, right? It's not me doing it. I'm just, if you will, connecting you to that love and light that you, and I'm the bridge, if you will, the male person. That's how I explain it. It's not me doing it. It's spirit working through me, or your guides, your angels, what have you. But you know what? I guess what a lot of people want to know, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I just saw this is in the chapter 2 of this book. We're talking about death, a beginning. You write about the soul experiences after death. Can you give a synopsis of this? What do you? Because a lot of people ask, what do we do on the other side? What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that chapter, and that's from I'm Still With You. So, you know, the tunnel of light, the life review, and I wrote about this too in Wisdom from the Spirit World, you know, of seeing the entire life from the time you came into the body of the little infant till the time of death, and really looking at that and seeing that, you know, what did I make an A on this lesson I signed up for? Did I make a C? Did I fail it? How did I do? And so there's this assessment that's taken. And then there's also sort of a conference with our spirit guidance, our spirit team, on are we going to continue on with the work? I've seen this through many, many readings that, say, for example, a soul who was a teacher here in the physical world, a lot of time, and I don't have knowledge of that prior to the reading. And, you know, sometimes in those sorts of readings, it will come through and I'll say, you know, he's told me he's over there, he's doing teaching. Yeah. And the person will go, yeah, he was a teacher when he was here. So the point is, we can continue on with what we were doing here in the spirit world. Another example would be someone like you who has worked in the healing field or, you know, medical field. There are actual spirit doctors. I would imagine spirit nurses. I've seen a lot of spirit guides who in prior incarnations were in the clergy. And so now they're continuing on with their work and helping people here. Now, it has to be said too that there's a lot of training that goes on for a soul to become a spirit guide. Yeah, there's a lot of training that has to happen. And so, and by the way, there are also counselors there.
Yeah.
I have personally seen a few of these. Just like we have therapists here, there are therapists there.
Well, building off that, hello, Roger. We have Michelle Pratt in Australia. She's popping in. She's probably getting ready for work. It's Tuesday morning. Jonathan from JK Paranormal. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody. We usually catch everybody. Let me do a quick jump through here. Kasun has a question for us, but I was going to say to you, I agree 100% with you, exactly what you said about us having, you know, teams on the other side and jobs on the other side, but we have to be careful with the word I'm about to use. I'm going to use it in a different way just because we're on YouTube. But for people that unalive themselves and what I have found, not always, but sometimes, that I can't always reach them super, super quick. Sometimes they'll come through right away, but sometimes they won't, because first, in my belief is, in order for somebody to unalive themselves, they are in such a deep state of pain and anguish that they really need some special healing on the other side before they're actually ready to kind of connect. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
It has been my experience in many years that people who have made that choice to mm-hmm. end their life are the most difficult to for them to blend with me. In order for mediumship to occur, there has to be a blending of my soul. I'm here in a physical body, but I have a soul. You have a soul. That soul and spirit obviously doesn't have a body, but there has to be a blending. So the most difficult, in other words, it seems like it's like I'm pulling teeth, so to speak, to get pieces of evidence, to get emotional content of that person's personality or what was going on with them. It's the most, I would say, number one.
Yeah, most of us, I think, in this field find that too.
To make. And my theory on that is, I believe because there was so much pain associated with them prior to leaving here, that I believe that there's sort of a hesitancy to reconnect with that or to come back into this vibration. Now, the other point can be that they are actually engaged in healing. See, nothing evaporates. I have never communicated with a soul who has ended their own life that was happy about it. Never, never. And there's always regret.
Well, because they see the big picture now, right? Being on the other side. And a lot of them, there's religious dogma. Like that's when you may run into somebody that's earthbound by their own fear here. Like, for example, when I moved into this place here, I've been here for almost 5 years. And right away, I picked up across the street that somebody had done that, a young man, and I could feel still that pain and that energy signature. I knew exactly where it was. I wasn't even in the house. It was a duplex, and I knew exactly what side. You can feel it, right? But somebody that makes that choice, they're in such a, I don't know how to, it's not words to describe the pain and anguish unless somebody has been there. So I don't know. And I always say, I'm never going to know all the answers till I go back home myself. But yeah, I have to agree with what you've shared here. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, the other possible reason is because when I said nothing evaporates, what I mean is the consciousness that any soul leaves here, the earth plane with, is the consciousness that goes to the spirit world. There is no other way for it to happen. We don't magically become enlightened. We don't magically become an angel. Angels are completely different. So what happens is that soul has to work through what they were trying to evade here. And that's why I mentioned about spirit counselors. That help. And so, and there's also one of the other things I've seen, perhaps you've seen this too. If someone had a particular traumatic passing, or, you know, maybe someone else took them out, you know, a murder or did that themselves, or they had a very violent type of passing, or maybe even they just had a longer illness, there is a period of acclimation that I've become aware of, that that soul is sort of wrapped in light. And there's different colors. What is color? It's frequency.
Yeah.
It's vibration. And so I've seen sometimes they might be wrapped in blue light. Believe me, this is not a regular occurrence that I see this sort of thing. But I'm talking over the years. And I've written about it in my books. That they're wrapped in this healing frequency of light. And it helps them to adjust and to release a lot of the physical demeanor that they had for X number of years.
Yeah, I almost look at, I agree with you. You don't see it a lot, but it's also it again, trying to explain this in human terms, it's we well, like we come here, I say this is one of the most difficult places to incarnate. I'm getting to your question, I promise, Kasun. Where, you know, we come in these dense, fragile, heavy bodies. We come, most of us, in with spiritual amnesia. We don't remember our previous lives or who we were or why we, you know, the whole bit. But when we go back to, like, I love the word you use, we have to reacclimate. But that pain, you know, we have to lose some of that humanness, is the way I try and describe it. I don't know if that's the best word. So when somebody comes through, I love what you say, you're going to go back with the personality, you know, some of the personality traits and what have you. Like, people will, when you were doing readings, people will present to share with us, or like you said, meld almost, but we will be able to pick up on who they were in that lifetime. So whom we're reading for, we can share, and they go, oh, that, yeah, that's so-and-so, right? But we're also at, we're not in a body. Like you said, there may be an etheric body of people, for people trying to understand, it's a soul. But the way I explain it is, it's nothing but love, right? So even for people trying to understand that'll blame God for, say, losing a child or losing someone they deeply love, and then trying to explain to them, right, that God didn't do this to you. Do you run into that a lot too?
Yeah, I've run into just about everything.
I'm sure you have. But for people asking, because like even Kasun says, hi, I'm curious whether there's a balancing effect to life. If you get too much energy earlier on, later on in life, if something happens to slow you down. I don't know. Do you understand that, Carol? Or if not, I was going to ask Kasun for a little bit more information about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if he's referring to spiritual work, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I know people that they go at their Reiki level one, Reiki level two, and mastership in like a year. That's too much. Mm-hmm. That's too much. I had like 2-3 years in between those levels. We can become very overwhelmed. I'm not sure if that's what the question
is. I wonder if he's asking about karma. Like, I don't know if he's saying if there's a balancing effect, if you've got too much, you have to explain what he means, energy or too much energetic earlier on, later on in life, does something happen to slow you down? I don't know, Kasun, if you can explain it a little bit better, because he gets into some great, interesting conversations, and I love Kasun. Like I said, he's in Sri Lanka, and we've had many conversations off air too, about karma and what have you, and he's genuinely interested. So I know he'll clarify for us. So,
well, karma is a natural law. I mean, it's the natural law of cause and effect. Mm-hmm. So it's I wish that the vast majority of humanity would understand that natural law is not something that's mutable. I mean, mm-hmm. there is an external reality apart from your beliefs, from your I don't even like those words, my truth. There is no such thing. There's beliefs, mm-hmm. but I'm saying there's an external reality that governs the consequences of our life. Karma is one of those, and it simply means cause and effect. Mm-hmm. For every effect, there's a cause, and vice versa. It cannot happen any other way. Everything here in the physical world was first a thought, but thought is often cause. So mm-hmm. then you have manifestation, which is the effect. Sometimes
people think karma is a punishment, and to try and explain people that it's mm-hmm. not. It is basically, I don't know if this resonates or not, too, what energy we put out, right? What you put out. It's balance, right? What you put out is going to come back to you in the way, and maybe not in this lifetime, but it's not punishment. We were having this conversation a couple of weeks ago, Dave and I, on air, about that it's more about experiences. And with that being said, what's your thoughts with connecting with this spirit world, say somebody like Adolf Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer, or somebody that with our human perspective, that is the depravity of evil, that of what they've done. What's your thoughts with the spirit world about that, or how does that equal itself out, if you will, with cause and effect?
Well, there are different levels, and when I say levels, I mean of consciousness. in the spirit world. So those that are closest to the earth are relatively, and by the way, they're also gauged by the amount of light. I mean, I'm talking, you know, physical light that is there. In the mid to higher planes, they're very light. It's always daylight. It's always summertime. The lower levels are relatively darker. Mm-hmm. And so do those exist? Absolutely, they exist. Mm-hmm. So Hitler, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, people who we would consider very evil throughout history, would go to those lower levels. Now, are they condemned forever? No, no, because no soul is ever lost. It's impossible because the soul is a part of God. Mm-hmm. There's the totality of spirit, which is the energy that runs through the tree outside I'm looking at, through you, through me, through animals, through every blade of grass. That's the totality of spirit. The soul is an individuated form of that greater oversoul. So it's impossible for it to be destroyed. Now, is it unpleasant in the lower regions? Absolutely. I've read books on these. Some of these are older books. A couple of them, one of them is called The World Unseen, and it's by Anthony Borgia. This was written back in the late 50s. It's an excellent rendition channel. This person that was in the spirit world giving the information was an actual living person who just happened to be involved. He was higher up in the Catholic Church. When he got over there, he said, you know, everything, what came through in this channeling that's in the book, and it's very simply written, it's an easy book, I couldn't put it down, but he says, everything I was taught in religion, none of it was true. I'm reading this book and I'm going, wow. You know, just astonishing. And he had been, I mean, he wasn't just a priest, he was, you know, a higher up in the church. He held a position. And he said, and I mean, it's throughout the book that he says, when I got over here, I remembered that everything, you know, and the dogma, all of that, none of that was true.
You know what? I love that. I think that that's why I was so fascinated about near-death experiences at the I remember almost practically to the date, and it was on my first nursing journal that I received as I was entering university. And there was two things on the front cover. Why are we always eating our young? And nurses recount their experiences with near-death experiences. Now, why are we always eating our young? And what that was talking about, and it didn't just apply to nursing. It applied to anything that, you know, students who will be our future, doesn't matter what profession, you know, if there's a mentoring program or you're following them around, you're shadowing someone to learn, right? They were finding that a lot of nurses that were, say, been in the profession a lot longer were tired, impatient, fed up, and didn't want students. And here I was entering into this. So I always have loved teaching, as it obviously you've loved teaching too, because you're doing it. And I always took students. I never forgot that. But the other one that utterly fascinated me was what nurses were experiencing either in personal life, their personal life. There was one tale about a car accident, and then what we were seeing at the bedside. And I was very fortunate. I worked nights I chose to, or days, like 12-hour shifts when I was in the hospital. And I would have patients that would have, say, a cardiac arrest. And, you know, you got to know them a little bit if you had a bit of time on nights especially. And then they'd be resuscitated. And it was, it didn't happen all the time, but every now and then they would share their experience, and you knew they had a near-death experience, and they would tell you all about what had happened. So to me, you know, I never had one with a hellish, and I'm not saying there's hell, because that took a long time with Catholicism. I'm recovering Catholic to wrap my head around there is no hell. But I agree 100% with you. And I get into this conversation with David on air too, about not everybody's running around thinking love and light. nor are their actions love and light. And, you know, everything being energy, I think our thoughts, our words, and our emotions are some of the most powerful forms of energy, never mind the actions that we do, which I think can create these lower realms. What are your thoughts? Do you agree, or would you have a different way of explaining it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
the energy's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm.
The spirit world is a place of thought. And when I say consciousness, I mean, yeah, the thoughts that you had. That's why during the life review, and this is a sobering reminder for all of us, that we do actually see how what we did to another person affected them. How did that person feel when I said that, when I did that? It could be good too, you know, doesn't have to be negative. What was the repercussions of the work I was doing? And, you know, I've had spirits come through, souls come through in some readings and say to the recipient of the reading, I am fully aware of the amount of good that you're doing in the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe when the parent was here, they didn't say that because they knew it, but they didn't have that kind of awareness. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that perspective, that expanded perspective that is only possible through the spirit world. So they'll come through and they'll say, you know, I've seen, and my spirit guides call it the ripple effect. Like when you throw a pebble in a pond and you see this, that's the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And so that's what our life is like. And
I love that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, because I think it's a great reminder for anybody to recognize you have no idea what effect you've had on other people's lives by you just being here, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that we really know that in our heart until we go back home.
Mm-hmm. I've read a few things from people that have shared. I'm fascinated by near-death experiences. I really am, because none of them are identical. And the wisdom and the changes that people come back with are phenomenal. And there was a few I read about where people had a lot of money, for example, and had been donating money and doing all this stuff and thinking, you know, before they actually had their NDE, that this is what I'm going to really hear about and having these great deeds I've done, and to come back from an NDE and be totally shocked that that's mm-hmm. not what was mm-hmm. the really great things that they did. It was the time they took to help that little elderly person with their bags of groceries and put them in the back of the car. And then to see the ripple effect of what that was, thinking that was nothing and it was monumental.
It is so important. What you just said, I have had so many readings that somebody comes through and they go, you know, when you brought food to me when I was ill, that really meant something to me. I recall doing a reading for a lady. She worked in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And there was a man that came through. I gave her a description. He was in a wheelchair and all this. She mm-hmm. goes, that doesn't sound like a family member. She goes, and then a name came through, a first name.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, that was one of my patients, you know? And the man said to her, he said, and I mean, it was so touching. And he goes, I didn't have any family, but you came and all you did was sit with me or touch me on my shoulder or hold my hand. And that really helped me. That meant something to me. And time again, I've heard that. And so it's a good reminder. I think we all need to hear that what we think is no big deal is a big deal to that person. And also, it's the expression of spirit through us, kindness, compassion. So maybe sometimes just sitting there for 5 minutes listening.
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. Would you believe we are out of time? This always flies by so quickly.
Yeah, I see
What have
that.
you got coming up, and where can people get a hold of you? And I'm really hoping, I'm not putting pressure on you, but I'm hoping we can have you back on when your new book comes out too, and we can continue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm expecting, I'm not sure, sometime at the end of the year, November, December.
Perfect. We're booking into this show the end of September already. So before we get end, after we get off, I'll have to send you my booking link again, and hopefully you can pick it
Okay.
up.
My website is Soul Visions, that's plural, visions, soulvisions.net. There you will find how to contact me. I read internationally at this point. Done a lot of readings from Canada and other, the Middle East, all over the place. So it has nothing to do with distance. You can also find my books there. I cannot beat the prices of Amazon. I just can't. They do, you know, they no, nobody probably can beat that
Nobody can.
as
No.
an author. So all my books are on Kindle. They're all on Amazon. You just type in my name there, all my books will come up. And they're also Barnes and Noble, Nook. Nook is their equivalent of Kindle. So that's my contact. Oh, one other thing. I'm on social media, particularly Facebook. It's facebook.com/soulmedium, SOUL plus the word medium. Facebook.com/soulmedium. And Instagram, and I cannot remember my Instagram right now,
I
but
found you on there, and you by under your name, Carol. I think it's Carol J. Obley or Carol Obley.
yeah, but I'm on
On
there.
LinkedIn. I found you on LinkedIn too. I tagged you on there, so.
I'm on there. I don't use them hardly at all, but
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I want to thank all of you. I want to thank you for your questions, your comments. They made some great ones. They were talking about experiences with cats, but we were having this just flew by with the in-depth conversation. So I want to thank everybody for being here. If you ever want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on facebook.com/angelrock. Just so you know, I've been finding more and more people and going to my website. I don't use it because I don't have a domain name, but I'm actually hearing for a spirit, I need to get my act together. So I'm going to be working on that. So I'll actually have a website. But the fastest and easiest way to get a hold of me is on Facebook Messenger. I am on every single social media platform, either under the Angel Rock or Laura Lee Potvin. If you ever, like I say, you ever want to book a reading with me, though, the easiest way, if you want to look at what I do or testimonials or whatever, it's on facebook.com/ the Angel Rock. I have two groups on Facebook. One is called Paranormal University for more of the paranormal type questions, and then the Angel Rocker Tribe for more of the spiritual things. Don't forget to join me on Thursday with David. We will be back with the thing at the foot of the bed, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have not forgotten. I forgot who asked how we're going to act. They want asked, how do I access my clairs? I don't know if we're going to be able to. We can do a general overview, probably, or more. But anyways, we are well over 100 people in our group, the thing at the foot of the bed with Laura Lee Potvin and David Hansel. So when we get to 200 people, if you join over there, David and I are going to start going live, doing some free one question readings and answering your questions. But we'd love to have you join us. Give us some show ideas. If you've got questions you want us to answer or talk about, maybe you've got some strange pictures, spiritual experiences, anything, come and join us over there and let us know. We'd love to have you become part of the group. It's a great group. Next week, I think I have Alfred Labermont Weber coming on. He's into UFOs, he's into all kinds of stuff. He's a very interesting individual. Otherwise, you guys, I will see you on Thursday. Carol, thank you again so much.
Thank you. It's
And
my pleasure.
oh, I had a great time with you. Like you guys, I said you would know most of the people in the chat because the last time you were on, it was a while ago. But you guys, she's got so much wisdom. I can't wait till we have her back on again. Hopefully, it'll be around just before Christmas. I know it sounds terrible, right, with it just being May, but time's going by quick, guys. So I want to thank you all. I say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. And I send you all so much love and light. Take care, and we'll see you on Thursday, everybody.